I've interviewed a handful of clinicians on other topics who sort of offhandedly said, "Do you know about ART, accelerated resolution therapy? Because it's amazing." These clinicians were trained in ART. They'd done the required 3-day basic ART training, needed to practice it, and they used it often. So they saw the impact it had on their clients, a lot of times right away. So I thought, I want to know more. So I did something that felt kind of drastic. I reached out to the developer of ART. Figured, why not give it a try? Her name is Lainey Rosenzweig. She developed the practice back in 2008 after being trained in EMDR, but later delivering the techniques in a unique way that seemed more effective. And I was shocked when she wrote back and said, yeah, let's talk. And it was this fascinating conversation. You'll hear some of it here. We talked about the development of ART and the research backing it, but it was mostly just about the results, which to me was the most intriguing part. My name is Tobin Richardson, and I'm a counselor educator with a vision to save the therapist by creating a forever free podcast-style platform designed for learning. Here, we're digging into accelerated resolution therapy, or ART, to scratch the surface on why and how this practice is so effective. Lainey has all these videos of clients who she's worked with who agreed to talk on camera about the impact of ART on them. And she showed me several of these. They're short and they're right to the point, and you can tell that they're completely real and unscripted. And the way her clients talked about ART, it was incredible. These were clients with severe trauma, it was often debilitating, who said, the emotions connected to the event, to the trauma, they're gone. I can think about it, I can talk about it without feeling overwhelmed or without crying. And in each of these videos, there was this look on the client's face of relief. It's hard to describe, you'd have to see them for yourself. Almost this look of wonder. And sometimes there are clinicians themselves who have these same types of reactions to ART. I'm gonna first play you an interview with one of these clinicians who stumbled upon the practice in a very relatable way. This was years ago. And now she's all in. She's never looked back. Here she is.
I was actually on a Facebook site for therapists, and it was specifically for EMDR. And I was getting really annoyed because the person kept saying, it wasn't my post, it was somebody else's post, but the person kept saying, oh, well, accelerated resolution therapy does this so much better. And no matter what the comment would be, they kept on going on about accelerated resolution therapy. And I was like, I eventually wrote back and I wrote like, you're just trolling. And I needed the CEU credits at the time. So I figured, hey, I'll take it. And normally I would take CEU credits, and the material I use, but you know, it wasn't primary in terms of what I would use. Once I was trained in the accelerated resolution therapy, I never went back to the EMDR. And when I say, I mean, I was trained originally in the EMDR by the originator, because I'm much older. So I was trained by Francine Shapiro, and I was supervising it. I was training it. I was using it.
So can you talk more about that? Like what happened that convinced you this is actually better than the EMDR?
People that were so stuck with trauma or that had a phobia, like a fear of flying, and had been from therapist to therapist, just got over the fear. It was like, it just, you watch their face just begin to melt. I mean, we're talking sometimes years and years of childhood trauma that was resolving in, you know, the way Lainey does it. You know, it takes me 1 to 2 sessions per incident. Lainey was doing this in 1 session.
Yeah, I can see why that would be convincing to like your eyes. So then did you find like the same thing in your work, which then just kind of like reinforced, yeah, why would I not do this?
Yeah. So then I started so when I started it, I was strictly, it was, you know, before COVID when I started doing the accelerated resolution. So people were coming into the office. And then once COVID hit, I switched to virtual and I was having the exact same results, but I was working with the same clients, you know, initially that I had been working with. And I just saw how quick, you know, like let's say someone had a needle phobia, we could resolve that in one session. Let's say somebody, you know, had trauma from their childhood and it was affecting their current relationship. Resolved in, you know, one or two sessions. I do follow-ups with clients and clients know because this is short term. So let's say that something else happens to a client in their life and it's 3 or 4 years down the line, they'll call me to work on a new issue. And I always check in, you know, regarding what they worked on. And they'll say to me, wait, I don't even remember. I don't even remember what we worked on. And I will remind them to see if it brings up any negative images or negative sensations. And they're like, oh no, that's like that trauma is gone. And usually it's pretty significant trauma from their childhood. And they'll be like, oh yeah, I can think about it, but it doesn't have that emotional connection to it. And they don't see any more negative images with it. They see the positive images, like what they changed it to in the director scene.
Yeah, it is so fascinating. Do you find yourself trying to now convince, like, are you now like that troll on the Facebook page that's he's talking about it?
No, but you know, a lot of times somebody will call me and ask, do you think I should get this training? And I'm like, oh yeah, because it feels, you know, therapy can be a very burnt out job. Like you can get very burnt out. I feel uplifted after a session. And that's just incredible to feel alive and life and excited. I never leave a session feeling drained. I could go on and on, you know, with different sessions throughout the day. Because the positive results, when you take away that negative image and those negative sensations for the person and their brain, that's what's so cool about this. It's the person's brain that's doing the work. So I never know. I'm always surprised. I never know what's going to come up for the person. So, you know, that's the other thing that I always say to people when they're interested, you know, have you ever felt burnt out? And if they have, which they normally have at some point, I'm like, accelerated resolution therapy leads you completely opposite.
This clinician isn't the only one who, once learning about art, just never looked back. It happens a lot from my research. It seemed kind of like the norm, especially among those who go on to do the formal training. So next, I'm going to cut over to my conversation with Lainey. We talked a lot about the different aspects of art, like why and how she created it. One of the parts of the conversation that stuck with me was when she talked about the difficulty she's faced convincing people that it isn't too good to be true. It's been a real challenge over the years, which makes sense. Here's her story.
So my name is Lainey Rosenzweig. I am the developer of Accelerated Resolution Therapy, or ART, or ART, I call it. And I did have a stroke 3 years ago, but fortunately, my brain's okay. My voice was a bit affected. So in 2007, I took a training in EMDR. And I fell in love with the eye movements and what they could do. I did not, however, fall in love with free association that EMDR does, because it can take a long time. People are left unfinished. And in the practicum, I injured somebody because they said time's up. She wasn't done and was almost afraid of me the next day. And I said, I sure hope you get to finish that scene. So I really didn't care for it. But I had this thought, what if I took the eye movements and put them right on a problem? Not talk around it, not free associate, just go for it. And I started to have these unbelievable results. Like people with trauma were done in the session and that was it. And they said, I don't need more, thank you so much. And even people with OCD and other things were getting completed very quickly. So I couldn't quite believe it myself. As I was told by an EMDR therapist, you are not doing EMDR correctly. Either do it our way or call it something else. So I began to create this because it was so good. So I started to create it. And 2 years later, that same supervisor called me and said, I'd like to take your training. And she took the training with me and liked it very much. Then as I was working with clients, I made discoveries. When I do the eye movements the way I do, a set amount, unlike EMDR, we're different. And when I take away negative sensations each step of the way, instead of waiting till they're done when it's too late, in my opinion, that's part of how it worked. So I was working with this client. She said, I always see myself at a window and I don't know why. And I had been pretty good with the Gestalt when we did a practicum in college. I said, so you see yourself at a window. Go ask yourself why. So in doing the eye movements, she came back and said, my earlier self is mad because I left her back there when she was sexually abused. I said, go talk to her and see if you can work it out. Just by doing these sets of eye movements, she said, she'll forgive me if I forgive her. I said, sounds like a plan. So let's go ahead and talk to her some more. So then I had another client. And she had a terrible situation when, as a child, her father made her eat dog and cat hair off the floor because she spilled cereal. And he would sweep it up and make her eat this. And I said, that's horrible. Just change it. Change the scene, because I knew Gestalt worked. So I thought, let's change the scene. So I do eye movements, and she comes back laughing. And I go, what's funny? She goes, I made him eat the dog and cat hair. And then she said, I can't see it the first way. It's gone. I only see this way. That's how I developed the image replacement, the voluntary image replacement, how I take the client to do whatever they want with the scene. And so that changes everything. Because now we don't just desensitize, we do my work, positivization. We're going to make it positive. Why not? The brain's open anyway. It's changing things anyway. Let's make them positive. And then I developed being able to erase an image in a client's mind and replace it so that by the end of the session, they're only seeing good images, but they never lose the actual memory. Maybe it's strengthened because the prefrontal cortex, your thinking brain, doesn't change anything. You get more facts maybe that are, I think, are real. So you keep the memory, you lose the trauma. So we say, keep the, how do I put it? We keep the images and lose the pain. Right. Yeah. So that's what happens with art. And I developed lots of interventions to go with the main script that people get. So in 3 days of basic training, I can have any therapist get results where the client goes from 10 to zero. So it doesn't bother them in, say, an hour, maybe an hour and a half, but usually an hour. And so they read the script, they do the eye movements, and the client's better. Very easy. I also have an advanced training. They can take the advanced. And what do we do in advanced? we can do a problem in a half hour because we do with a one image, a metaphor. So I do a lot of metaphorical work, which I love. Moving a sensation to keep the prefrontal cortex busy. I'll do something that will confuse a client. That way I get in more quickly to the limbic system. So I find that people also find this theory to be so much fun. And when was therapy ever fun before this? Never, not often. And so that's the amazing parts of art. So it's so unbelievable that it's been a little bit difficult to spread because people think it's a lie, you know, too good to be true, right? But we have almost 16,000 people trained in 15 years. I now have Mayo Clinic on their fourth study with grief, with the NIH grant. I'm at Yale. I've done three trainings. We're going to Kenya because Yale wants to have people train in Africa on weather and HIV. And the military in Canada is halfway through a study on art. So we're in really, really good places. We've been to over 10 Army bases, Walter Reed, Fort Belvoir, I think 6 times, Fort Hood, Fort Benning. I've been to Betty Ford Clinic. So people are learning about it, just as you had learned about it. And I hope, because I'm 72, that it gets spread all around the world before I'm not here anymore. So we started training more EMDR people than ever. I have two people in the Netherlands that head up trainings for EMDR that are now trained in art, and they want to take it to the EMDR people in overseas in Europe. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, but well, that's amazing. It is so cool to hear about how, like the way your story unfolded. I was wondering that, so you talked about this thing that I was wondering about, is like how frustrating it must have been when you first discovered how well this worked. Because I do think probably people were very skeptical back then of it being too good to be true. So how did you get over that hump of like convincing people it works?
I was in a clinic for over 30 years and I was pretty good. I used metaphor, you know, and that was helpful. I was okay. And so when I get young people, right, just getting their license or close to licensure, and they learn art, I tell them, I'm very jealous. You're starting out the gate knowing this wonderful thing that is the best treatment for trauma. You're so lucky. We've had a few colleges we're talking to that may want to institute it, even Yale, as part of a program. So before therapists leave, they can have this therapy and not have to go through just talk therapy, because talk therapy is in the wrong part of the brain. It doesn't get to the emotional side. And the intellectual side is not the best to treat trauma because it's stuck in the limbic system, the amygdala. It's stuck, and we unstick it with the eye movements that may be similar to REM. People think it's like rapid eye movement. So I think it's like creating a good dream that overrides the nightmare. You see, when anyone comes in, everything before they ever did, their life, everything, turned into just a dream. It's not real anymore. It's not happening. So it can be a nightmare. And that's why there's childhood trauma. So I have them take the childhood drama, put it into snippets, see it in 5 or 10 minutes in the mind without talking. The brain generalizes, and you can do the whole childhood in the hour. They change their perspective. They go, oh, I guess it made me who I am today. And they're done. They don't look back, and they change images and so forth, and the story. They can even take a limousine in their mind back to pick up all the earlier selves, bring them to today, and they can parent in their mind their earlier selves and rescue them. And the child is not important. So it's a major paradigm shift. So my clinicians always say, as they write me and tell me how wonderful it is, it's a very big paradigm shift. Nobody thought you could do this stuff. And that for a therapist, there's no compassion fatigue because you don't have to hear facts. You just apply the protocol, the person's done, and you may not even know what the problem was, which avoids the compassion fatigue, you call it. I mean, therapists are so tired with talk therapy, they don't even know what to do. So when I was in the hospital for the stroke, David, my partner, said, there's somebody on the edge in Boston, and I'm in Hartford. And he said, would you want to see him? Well, at the time I was in a wheelchair and recouping. I said, I can't keep away from her. It's so much fun. Tell him to come. So the guy comes and David sits by the door so the nurses won't bother me. And I work with this man and he didn't tell me a thing about it. At the end, he said, I'm good. I feel like a zero. It won't bother me. I said, okay. So a few weeks later, David gets a call. Do you know what that guy had for a trauma? And David says, no, we don't know. He was a first responder from the Boston Marathon bombing, and he was unable to walk around the site. But after I did the art in the hospital with him, he went down there, and he walked all around and told his wife to drive him, and he had no problem. He didn't have those feelings. He was able to be okay. The whole trip has been amazing for 15 years since I developed it and got into the first study at USF, where they average about 1 to 3 sessions to get rid of all the PTSD with the soldiers. So, ever since, you know, I developed it, I am amazed every time.
Are there limits to how, like, if a trauma was very recent, are there any limits around things like that?
No, I've done today, I've done yesterday, and I've done people who were in Vietnam. It's all the same. The brain holds, what I surmise is, the brain holds the images, whether they're very old or very new. Sometimes being old, they've gone over it a bunch of times, so it's ready to process. But it could be yesterday and the PTSD hasn't formed. So I think if our military did a session of art every time they came out of theater, we would eradicate PTSD altogether in the military. And I think Francine Shapiro, who developed the MGR, it was a great woman for getting the eye movements into the modern world. I even have a picture of her with me in the book because I thought I was doing EMDR. And I said she was a great woman. But I think she developed EMDR by kind of research-wise thinking the way it should be. And I did it by intuition. And so we're almost opposite in how we do things. I take care of the images right away. She would wait until they saw several scenes or something. And that's too late in my book. You know, because they're too upset. You want to take that away each time.
Is it possible to do through like telehealth?
So people, once they're trained, they're independent contractors. They can do whatever they want. But I don't endorse it, and I'll tell you the reasons. It's so body-oriented. I want to see the whole body. So you may tell me you're calm, but your feet are going up and down. I want to observe. Yale did a study, and the brainwaves are different in person than on a telehealth. And I don't want you to leave the screen because the first 5 minutes is you're showing your brain the problem. So it knows where to go and how to direct itself to fix it, right? So that first 5 minutes may be a little tense. I don't want you walking off and I can't get you back. I mean, I don't want that. I want to be there. I want to move in and comfort you until you're done. By the end, you're relaxed, you're happy, the thing is done. But at the very beginning, you show your brain the problem by visualizing it in your mind, not talking, just seeing it. And then we get rid of the sensations for it and do the other steps, you see. So I don't endorse it. I won't endorse it. I don't like the way it looks with eye movements on the screen. It's very impersonal. And I just don't get the same vibe vibes, you know, doing that way. But some people do it and say it works. Well, you know, that's okay. I can't tell you not to, but I do say I don't endorse it.
What do you think is holding people back? Like, if a therapist, like, have you heard reasons why therapists, like, don't use or skeptical? Like, I'm just curious why it's not more ingrained into, like, our training.
Well, there's several answers. First of all, some therapists on their own are worried it's too quick. What if I don't make money? All my therapists are busy. So I answered that. And in the script, at the very end, it says optional. If you use a set of eye movements and you ask the client with the eye movements, is there anything else you might want to work on using art? They'll come up with different things, other things than what you did. So you'll have more sessions. But if people are skeptical, it's too bad if they don't allow themselves to see it. Now, I had it when I went to the fort in Georgia to train, and there was a guy that kept asking questions, and his supervisor said, stop, we're trying to learn, what's your problem? And I followed him out into the hallway and say, can I help you? You seem to be disturbed. And he said, I am trying to be an EMDR supervisor, and I have spent so much money on EMDR, and now you come along with this, and it's so simple. And I said, well, I can't really help you with that. Everything you learn is a learning process. So you'll have to decide what you want to do. Because people who go on with the EMDR do wind up finding it a lot more expensive than doing my 3 days. And then if you care to, you can do consults, very inexpensive. And, you know, it is what it is, but some people spend a lot of energy, time, supervision, learning how to be an EMDR supervisor. And I just don't have a lot of that going on. You can train after you've been doing it for a year to be a trainer. I just don't make things that hard. I'm rather like being simple.
Well, gosh, I'm just so thankful that you spent the time to talk to me. Is there anything else like that we didn't get to touch on that you think would be really important to include?
Tell people, if you're interested, go to the web. It's www.artworks.com. Again, the intro's at the top. It says free intro. I'll show you video of people after a session and show you what art can do. And if you want to sign up, then you can do that as well, right on the web.
Like Lainey mentioned, art is often used not just to treat trauma and PTSD, but it can also be applied to anxiety and depression and phobias and all types of other presenting issues related to unresolved emotional pain. Practicing art is kind of like helping the brain to refile painful memories, so they no longer have the same emotional toxicity. And it happens quickly. So if you like the idea of using eye movements along with image replacements in a simple and straightforward way, check it out before chalking it up to too good to be true. You never know. You may never look back.